Of course, all amputees hanker after the state of twinness. Ordinary people, untwins, seek their soulmate, take lovers, marry. Tormented by their incompleteness, they strive to be part of a pair. The missus was no different from anyone else in this respect, and she had her other half, John the Dig. They were not a couple in the traditional sense. They were not married, they were not even lovers. But they became friends the way old married couples often do, and enjoyed the tender loyalty that awaits the lucky on the other side of passion without ever living the passion itself. His name was John the Dig, John Digence to those that didn't know him. Never a great one for writing once the school years were passed, and they were soon passed, for there were not many of them. He took to leaving off the last letters of his surname to save time. The first three letters seemed more than adequate. Did they not say who he was, what he did, more succinctly, more accurately than even his full name? And so he used to sign himself John Dig, and to the children he became John the Dig. His family had always been gardeners at Angelfield. So, when it was time, John the Dig picked up the tools, their wooden handles worn to shape by his father's hand, and felt his fingers fit the grooves. In the years after George Angelfield lost his wife, when the number of staff diminished so dramatically, John the Dig stayed on. He would have been offered any job he had applied for, you only had to see him to trust him. But he never left Angelfield. How could he? Like his trees, he was rooted to Angelfield.